In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Our Lady, Virgin most prudent, Saint Joseph, our patron saints and guardian angels, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Saint Paul, in his letter to the Philippians, is just reminding them that even in his day, as we can say very much is the same today, that they were living in a, as he said, a crooked and perverse generation. Those who were following Christ in the day of St. Paul are just like Christians today. We are set apart. We are different. We should obviously stand out in a certain light because we are to be, as he says, you shine like lights in the world as you hold on to the word of life, so that my boast for the day of Christ may be that I did not run in vain or labor in vain. In other words, he's encouraging them not to give in to the forces around them that are wanting them to capitulate and give in and not be a witness to Christ and not to be faithful to him. And it involves, just like a man who is running a race or being involved in some particular work, when you get tired, or you find that, you know, there are things working against you, you continue to run on. You don't let let that discourage you, but, you know, renew your faith and know that you're involved in a certain sense a sacrifice that you have to make in order to, just as a runner in a race makes many sacrifices so that he can win the race, many athletes make all kinds of sacrifices so they can be the best in their particular sport. Well, even more so, we should, as Christians, be willing to make those sacrifices and make those commitments. The demands of that particular activity require of us, and the demands that our Christian faith requires of us, we should be willing to make those sacrifices. And our Lord kind of repeats that, reiterates it in the gospel today. He says, if anyone comes in without hating his father and mother, obviously he's not saying to hate them, but rather God, he's using, in my understanding is in the Hebrew language, they don't have ways of showing renunciation, so they use a word that is as strong as hate. But what our Lord is saying, in one sense, if you don't love God more than all these other things, in one sense, if you love God with your whole heart, your whole soul, and your whole strength, everything else that is going to be opposed to that, in a certain sense, you must hate it. You must detest it. If it's going to bring you away from God or from your service to him, then in one sense, it's not good for you, and you should have a certain detestation or hatred for it. You know, we're in this namby-pamby world today of Christianity that somehow thinks that, you know, everything is love, love, love. But love does not have anything, it's not real love if you don't hate also. If you don't hate that which is opposed to that which you love, then you don't really know what love is all about. You must love God and you must hate everything that is opposed to God. Of course, that means sin. And Our Lady loved God with her whole heart. But, you know, many times the authors say she hated sin. She does not hate sinners, but she hates sin. And we must also hate that which God hates. It says we just heard in the psalm this morning that God hates evil. And here we are in the world today somehow trying to make peace with it. We're trying to somehow find something good in something which God detests, which is, you know, unnatural vice or divorce without, you know, God hates sin. He hates evil. And we must hate it too. Hate it to the point that we don't want to have anything to do with it. And we don't try to somehow put a ribbon around a pig you know, and somehow trying to make it into something that it isn't. You can't make a silk purse out of a sow's ear, and that's what many people are trying to do with a lot of things which are evil. They're trying to somehow make it, transform it into something good. You can't. You must hate that. And the Lord is also saying that you must be prudent when you come to serve Him, just as you would be prudent in any activity that you take up, whether to build a tower or to take on an enemy in battle. You prepare for it. You sit down and you determine, now, can I fulfill this? Can I do what is necessary to complete the task? And even more so, with the duty and with the task that we have before us into serving God, it requires prudence. We must make prudent decisions. We must prepare, and we must make sure that we are able to do what we are called to do. What are we called to do? We're called to love God with our whole heart, with our whole soul, and all of our strength, and to be happy with Him forever in the next. To love Him and know Him and to serve Him. And are you prudently engaging in that by putting your mind to task to see, now, how am I doing that? That requires a certain reflection that we must make every day. And if you're not praying, if you're not setting aside time every day to pray and to reflect upon your Christian vocation and your following of Christ, then you're not very prudent. You're not going to be able to complete the task that is before you. There's so many people that, and that's why he says, in the same way, every one of you must, who does not renounce all his possessions, cannot be my disciple. Our Lord is saying, whatever that is that is taking you away or is an obstacle to you fulfilling your vocation that you have received at baptism, to be a child of God. And there are many things that we have in our life that we, you know, make demands upon us, or that we take up, which are probably things that God does not wish us to take up. And he says, in a certain sense, you have to look and examine your life and prudently say, now, does this or that thing help me to serve Christ? If it doesn't, then it should be renounced. It should be repudiated. If it does, then, you know, Put it to task. Put it to what it is that you're called to do. But we must be able to reflect on that and make prudent decisions, and that means we must have every day time for prayer, time to enter, to have communication with God and with the Trinity, so that we can, first of all, receive the light that we need, and then the strength that we need to carry out the task that is before us. Just as a man, you know, when he builds a tower, has to see, do I have all the materials? Do I have the skill? Do I have the people who can do this for me if I don't have the skill? Well, in our spiritual life, we must be just as prudent. We must be just as engaged, you might say, intellectually. The Christian life involves using your head, using your mind, the prudence that God gives you with the grace, and then also fulfilling the task. And if you are lacking in something, then of course he's indicating that you need to go and get whatever it is you need. And our Lord, of course, is the storehouse and will guide you and lead you. But we must make prudent decisions. We must be engaged in our Christian life, wanting to fulfill it, the duty that is before us. It's the most important task that we have. All the other things that we're engaged in throughout the day, they have some kind of worldly importance. They probably end with this life when we die. But the thing that will have eternal consequences is the Christian life that we are called to live. That will have consequences beyond the grave. That's the most important thing. So therefore, we should give it its proper attention. and maybe there are other things that are less important, and we need to renounce them. We need to put them aside and detest them if they're an obstacle to that vocation and task. Let us ask Our Lady in a special way, who was the Virgin most prudent, who was the one that truly did not waste any opportunity for serving her Master, serving Jesus, and she fulfilled everything she did in an excellent, most excellent manner, and ask her to guide us, to be our spiritual director, to be our spiritual guide, that we may truly utilize the time, the talents, and the graces that are given to us to achieve the same task that is our sanctification. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.